national interest or the national interest takes us this week to a part of the country we really adore, but that unfortunately is having some problems right now. That is Northeast India. Now, if you want to understand why two neighboring states, brotherly, sisterly states, Assam and Mizoram, are fighting with machine guns over territory, you have to first raise five questions, and we'll raise five questions, and as we answer these questions and you net them off, then you will understand why this calamity has befallen us, why this has happened, because these are complex issues. So I am trying to break down this complexity. First, the five questions. First of all, why does Assam have border disputes with many of the states neighboring it, but only four of the six northeastern states neighboring it, but not the remaining two? One point. Second, why did the line of the border shift between 1875, when it was first drawn, between what was Lushai Hills, or which is now Mizoram, earlier it was Lushai Hill districts, or and Assam, and 1933? Why did that boundary line shift between 1875 and 1933? Because that is the causes belli now, because Mizos wanted back to 1875, Assam has inherited a boundary from 1933 because that's more recent. So why did that happen? Third, why has this dispute come alive now, and that too so intensely? Because these disputes have been there, these differences have been there for a long time. Mizoram itself had a history of really bad insurgency for more than two decades, but now has been absolutely peaceful since 1986, the Rajiv Gandhi Laldenga peace accord. So why has this come to a head now? And before that, we've had trouble on Assam-Nagaland border, trouble on Assam-Arunachal border. There were some protests, in fact, ugly scenes on Assam-Meghalaya border, not far from Guwahati. So why has this suddenly sprung up at this point? Fourth question, why couldn't BJP, which now controls Delhi with an overwhelming majority, has a very strong home ministry, and rules all of the states of the Northeast, either directly or in coalition or through leveraged buyout, as say in Arunachal, why couldn't the BJP and the person it has appointed as a kind of grand vizier, if not the czar of the Northeast, that is the Chief Minister of Assam, Hemanta Biswa Sarma, why couldn't they foresee what was happening and prevent it? And finally, our question, fifth question, why has India been able to sort out its border differences with some countries and not others? So these five questions we try to answer, and then we'll draw a line underneath all of this and give you our assessment of what we think has gone wrong. And you tell me whether you agree with me or not. So first of all, why has Assam had trouble with four out of six states but not two states? That answer is very simple. That is because two of the states, Tripura and Manipur, were already existing territories. They were not carved out of Assam. Whereas the other four, that is Meghalaya, Arunachal, Nagaland and Mizoram, they were carved out of what was combined Assam. Nagaland, the process started in 1957, the full statehood was given in 1963, and the other states were carved out in 1972. First, two of them became union territories, that is Mizoram and Arunachal, and later they became states. So because they had that history of being partitioned out of Assam, this followed the trend of India having trouble with its bordering states, particularly those that came up as a result of the partition. So the Pakistanis, for example, always thought that they had had an unfair deal in the border. Bangladesh, which inherited that problem, also carried on with that feeling. And there are also problems that India inherits from the British times, say with Nepal and other countries. So this was rooted in colonial times, and this was rooted in the history of partition. Similarly, when these states were carved out of Assam, so just as Radcliffe drew the line on the map of India and said, this is India, this is Pakistan, and sometimes, you know, when you are a colonial power, you draw this line with a thick-nibbed pen, as say the McMahon line is, and then it leaves a lot of ambiguity. So So a lot of that stuff happened in the Northeast when the boundaries of these states were drawn, because these were then drawn by the bureaucracy and the civil servants of North Block in Delhi, and they thought, what is the big deal? If anything, they could be more casual. And they said, this is within the country, the boundaries between states, we are creating new states. Kya problem hai? Not realizing that in the course of time, this will lead to trouble. So that is what has happened now. The second thing, just as India had trouble, particularly complicated by the fact that they had inherited borders which were a part of the British legacy, say the border issue with Nepal, for example. Similarly, in the Northeast, many of these territorial maps between these districts which were converted into states now had been inherited from the British, and the British had changed them to suit their own convenience. Now, you might say, what happened between 1875 and 1933? The Mizos say they accept the 1875 borders that give them a little more territory in the area where the fighting is taking place right now, because then the British had consulted their tribal elders. And we go by tradition. This is what our tribal elders agreed for. That's our tradition. If the British changed it in 1933, we don't accept it. Now, that 1875 border was also drawn under a law. That was the Bengal Eastern Frontier Act. And the British used that law to do it. In 1933, they shifted the line. And that answers our next question as to why the line was shifted. That line was shifted possibly because by that time, that area had opened up and a lot of British-owned tea gardens had come up in that area. And when you are growing tea gardens, then the value of land, which is either flat or which has rolling hills instead of steep hills, as Mizo hills mostly are, that acquires greater value. So maybe they shifted the line for that reason. We don't know. But that is what the Mizos feel. The Assamese, on the other hand, feel that, look, we just got the boundaries we got. These boundaries were drawn in 1972. You can't now say, go back to 1875, because whatever it was given, and see, we were large-hearted. We did not complain. We did not protest when these states were carved out of our large state. Our large state was cut to size, because we saw this was in the national interest. So we made a sacrifice. Now we don't deserve these disputes over little chunks of territory by Mizoram, Meghalaya, Nagaland, Arunachal. So that is where we are stuck. Which brings us to our next question, the third question, which is, why have these latent disputes come to a head now? You thought they were forgotten. In fact, most people who are maybe even in their 40s would not even remember that there were these disputes in the Northeast. So how have they come to a head right now? Because by this time, the Northeast is very stable. It's governed by one party. The same party governs Delhi. So there should be a lot of harmony. The chief ministers meet. There is an organization where chief ministers meet. That is the Northeastern Development Alliance. So they can talk and thrash out their problems. So why has it broken out now? The answer is a very simple one, and it's the same answer that explains why India's smaller neighbors resent India and dispute their borders so strongly. It is the small state syndrome. So the small state always thinks that the big one is playing dada and denying me my due. So in Pakistan, for example, it is still believed deep inside their hearts, and they have an abiding belief in this conspiracy theory, which is nonsense, that Mountbatten conspired with Nehru to give the district of Gurdaspur in Punjab to India. If only he hadn't done so, India would have had no access to Kashmir. So it was a conspiracy to give India Kashmir that Mountbatten had Gurdaspur given to India. Now, this is nonsensical. Don't misunderstand me. I am not justifying this. But it is believed. That is the small state syndrome. And that is what you see happening in the Northeast also. And other countries in India's neighborhood had the same issue. Nepal has the same issue. Bangladesh had the same issue, which was earlier East Pakistan. And Sri Lanka had the same issue. And further, if you say, if the same party is ruling all these states and Delhi, same party either directly or indirectly, as I said, BJP directly rules Assam and Tripura. It also directly rules Arunachal now through leveraged buyout. And the rest are the treaty allies. So, Meghalaya, Nagaland and Mizoram, they are treaty allies. So it rules all of the Northeast and Delhi. So we have to remember that even last time when a big border dispute broke out between Assam and Nagaland in 1985, both chief ministers were from the Congress party. Hiteshwar Saikia was in Assam and S. Chubatoshi Jamir was in Kohima. So it doesn't matter when regionalism, when ethnicity, when identity, when the small state insecurity clashes with the dominant big state, then party loyalties don't matter so much. Now, question number four. Why did the center with the strong home ministries, home minister, and the Northeast with again a leader in the Northeast, that is Hemanta Biswa Sarma, why were not they able to foresee it and prevent it? So the answer to that is a simple one. The answer is they began seeing the Northeast as a monolith just because the same party or the same alliance ruled all the states and they had power in Delhi. The Northeast is anything but a monolith. The Northeast has its own diversity, its own conflicts of interest, and different communities, different tribes, different minorities have their own sense of pride, their own sense of territoriality, and also their own insecurities. That was somehow overlooked while seeing this by declaring victory over all of the Northeast. And that is the reason this stuff went out of control before somebody could blow the whistle, flash red cards and send these fighting players home. It went completely out of control. And today you have a situation where one state, that is Assam, has issued a travel advisory saying nobody from Assam should travel to Mizoram because they'll be unsafe. Now, I had never seen something like this before. In fact, in 1985, when I went to cover the Mirapani massacre or Mirapani disturbances, then I thought I had seen the worst I will see in India in interstate fights. That is when the BSF had moved in there to patrol the border between two states and they had set up outposts called BOPs, border outposts. And I thought, BOPs are between nations and now we are setting up BOPs between states. It can't get worse than that. But now it's got worse than that because this travel advisory has been issued. I lived in the Northeast between 1981 to 83, the worst time in the Northeast. Four insurgencies were raging at that point. More than 13 brigades of Indian Army were fighting those insurgencies. Assam had such a big blockade that not a drop of Assam's crude oil could go to the refinery at Barauni in Bihar. The pipeline was blocked and nobody could, even the army could not open it. Even at that time, such an advisory wasn't issued. Such an advisory hasn't been issued about Jammu and Kashmir. It was never issued in the worst days of the troubles and terrorism in Punjab. This has happened now. The reason this has happened now is it just looks like the state has lost control. We also have to note that the Mizoram MP Vanlal Vena made a statement outside parliament basically threatening that any Assamese will now be killed. So these are terrible things which have happened, should not have happened. Now we come to our question number five. Which countries has India been able to settle its borders and why? So good example is Bangladesh. Bangladesh was Pakistan till 1971. They inherited the same border issues. We had enclaves across each other's territory. It was a big problem on both sides. This process started under Manmohan Singh's UPA of settling that border. And Narendra Modi's NDA then took it forward most magnanimously. And this border was settled between India and Bangladesh completely. Not just land border, but even the maritime borders were settled. Similarly, India settled that one Kachativu island dispute with Sri Lanka, which was marring our relations for a long time under Indira Gandhi in those years in the 70s. How did this happen? For all this to happen, the larger state, that is India, had to show generosity and large-heartedness. Because smaller states always have insecurity because they think that they have an unequal negotiating position on the table. So they want the other one to be generous, and that is what India has done in its larger national interest. Each of these cases that were settled amicably, the larger power showed generosity and large-heartedness, not cussedness and dadagiri. That is the way to settle this problem. It would never have happened if India had approached this like the big brother. So when you net off these answers and the explanation behind them, then we come to some conclusions. So one conclusion, why have things so go wrong? Number one, we explained earlier also, the BJP sees the Northeast as a monolith. It is not a monolith. It is different states, different tribes, different ethnicities, different subnational pride, very relaxed view of Indian nationalism, and a very strong sense of identity. That just because one party rules all this, you cannot think that you have integrated or homogenized this. So that was the one mistake, seeing the Northeast as a monolith. Number two, following this, the BJP has followed an integrative approach. So integrative approach, one example is the setting up of NEDA, that is the Northeastern Development Alliance. Now NEDA under one chief minister of the most dominant state in the Northeast. Now compare this with the debate that's going on in the armed forces about what would the CDS do, Chief of Defense Staff? What would theater commands look like? So the army is very large, Air Force and the Navy may be a fraction of the army, but they are not willing to concede total supremacy forever to the army just because of the difference in size. And that's why government has had to make many negotiations, give and take. That's why CDS does not take any operational decisions. And that's why that's how the debate over theater commands is raging. But at the same time, in the Northeast, you have now not only given a central authority, but you've also given a commander-in-chief. People in the Northeast don't like it, particularly in these smaller tribal states. Because remember, there are three reasons why these smaller states were set up. Number one, because smaller states thought that when something happened there in Shillong, the combined Assam's capital was then located, they were out of sight, out of mind. Just to give you an example, the big trouble in Mizoram began in early 60s when Mizoram had its big famine. Mizoram has a bamboo flowering season every decade or thereabouts, and traditionally that is when bamboos flower and there is some alkaloid in the flower, which when rats eat, rats become much more fertile. So a lot more rats are produced and they eat up food, they attack human beings, dwellings, everything. And that happened in Mizoram. And when that happened, the Mizos thought the government in Shillong was not bothered. They were too far. So there was an out of sight, out of mind syndrome that all of them suffered from. So they wanted power of their own. That was one. Two, there are ethnic insecurities. So you might say, oh, the Northeast, we protect the Northeast and its identity. But Northeast does not have one identity. Mizos, which are just about 10, 12 lakh people, they also have a sense of identity, which is very strong. And they have seen many tribal identities being overwhelmed by others. Say Tripura, for example. Tripura tribals are now 25-28%, whereas the rest are Bengalis, mostly who've come from East Pakistan or Bangladesh. So all the other tribals have that insecurity also about people coming in from Assam. For example, they think that under CAA NRC, if the majority of people identified as foreigners under NRC in Assam who are Hindus are settled there, then they think that that will be a threat to their states as well. That's the reason a state like Meghalaya is now asking for inner line permit. And the third reason these states were created was to give power to the local elites. Because in a large state like Assam, what power would a Mizo have? Even today, if you add the population of all these six states, it's 1.55 crores, which is just about 40% of Assam. So in a combined Assam, what leverage would Mizo leaders have, or Khasi leaders have, or Garo leaders have, or Naga leaders have? That's why these states were created. These states were not created to integrate them into one whole. These states were created to acknowledge their distinctive nature. So in short, the states in the Northeast don't want any Dadagiri. They don't want to defer to Delhi. Similarly, they don't want to defer to Dispur. And now, not only has the BJP done that in trying to mend what ain't broke, but they've also given them a commander-in-chief. This, in my view, is impractical, unwise, and unsustainable. And it's most unfortunate if it sometimes can lead to terrible violence like this.